Hello and welcome to the Charmed Life Podcast. This podcast is all about magic, metaphysics, mysticism, and the unconditional love of the universe. And I am your host. My name is Trisha Carr. This episode is a conscious conversation, and my guest and I have the most enlightening time together. This is a longer episode because we had so much that we wanted to share with you, share with one another. So I'm going to get right to it and welcome you into this conversation with my guest, Sophia Renea Morales, transformation alchemist and sensible mystic. Trials we go through and the blessings we receive are the same. A quote by Tyler Perry. Award-winning global strategist and former biophysicist Sophia Renea Morales had it all. A high-powered career, loving husband, gorgeous properties, adventure, good friends, you name it. She was living the dream until her fast-paced life screeched to a halt and left her in pieces. Sophia was brought to the edge of death by an undiagnosed chronic Lyme disease and left bankrupt in every area of her life. Desperate for a miracle, Sophia cried her most heartfelt prayer, "I will do anything to get better." This single prayer triggered an unanticipated Kundalini awakening, a spiritual activation which unlocked Sophia's gifts as an intuitive, healer, and mystic, changing her life completely. Sophia Renea Morales is now the host of talk radio program Sovereign Self, Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time at sovereignself.live, and the creator of the Conscious Enlightenment Process, a transformation alchemist and teacher guiding clients to find the gold within their most painful life transitions, helping people from all backgrounds notice how life wraps the best gifts in the shittiest wrapping paper. Sophia's scientific and corporate background appeals to clients who appreciate the way she integrates a pragmatic woo and real life into her work. Seasoned with love and laughter, Sophia guides her clients through their own spiritual crises and onto their paths of passion and purpose with warmth, joy, tenderness, and play. Everything happens for you, not to you. You don't have to like it. It just gets easier if you do. And that is a quote by Byron Katie. Well, with my heart and my soul, I am deeply excited to welcome you into this conversation with Sophia Renea Morales, and I will chat with you on the other side. Well, Sophia, I'm so excited to get going. We don't hold ourselves back from getting into all the things because, of course, we have so much in common and so much passion for the world of spirit and to be of service. So let's just start from the very beginning. And would you like to tell everyone about your journey or like the work you're doing? Because you're doing such beautiful and vast work. I would love to hear all about it.
I'm going to give you like the Reader's Digest version of my awakening, because if I go into the whole thing, it will be here all day. And there are other things we want to discuss, obviously. Yes. So my story is basically this. I was very rational minded, trained scientist, 2 + 2 = 4. It's got to be replicatable. I'm from Missouri. Show me the proof, right? All evidence based. Don't talk to me about anything else. And my soul invited me kind of gently into, you know, open up this mind frame a little bit. But I was raised by a German and a Norwegian, and I've got a double dose of stubborn and stoic, and I've got my blinders on, and this is the path, right? And so I walked by little invitations into like Psy-K. I walked by invitations into muscle testing and cord cutting. I walked by invitations into tapping. I kind of peeked down those roads, but I didn't go there. It's like, oh, that's interesting. And it's not really helping me
not on the script, not the on the script that's already written.
Yeah. And it's like, no, this is not it. I'm going to keep going on this rational thing. Mm-hmm. And when you ignore these invitations of your soul into something bigger, different, or a path you're supposed to be on, it gets more aggressive with its invitations.
Yes. 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 I loved that you said it was gentle. And it's like, oh, isn't it nice? But
yes. And it would be nice.
We're so hard-headed, aren't we?
Exactly. If I had paid attention and followed that curiosity, it might have turned out a little different, but I did not. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept getting sicker and sicker. And a lot of times our soul will put us on the sideline with an illness or an injury when it's time for us to reevaluate. Yeah. Look what you're doing. You stop doing that, right?
Yeah.
And I'm particularly stubborn and hard-headed. So not only did I get sick, but the income into the household stopped. I'm married. Okay. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I, for a couple of years, had been playing, you're the breadwinner, I'm the breadwinner, and kind of tossing that ball back and forth. His industry has gone through some major shifts. And so it's gotten harder to find the kind of job that he wanted, that sort of thing. And so shorter gigs, longer unemployment, not a good combination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was at the point that he needed to go back and get a degree. I had gotten so sick at that point that I couldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been on the phone with my, at that time, 72-year-old mother, and I was mentioning, I've got this happening and that happening and the other thing happening. And she's like, your health is more messed up than mine.
Okay. Wow.
That's a bad, you know, you're in a bad space when your 72-year-old mother says, you need to see a doctor. Yeah, I've been seeing plenty of them. And so what unfolded for me is what I call my reverse Job. So my health went away. The money evaporated. We ended up in bankruptcy in a state we had just moved to a year earlier. That, like, all the shit is coming together. And not only am I sick, but now I'm losing my mind, my ability to function intellectually. One of the things that I've prized the most in my life, it was a major part of my identity and the way I made my money, right?
Yeah.
And it got to the point that I couldn't make a 30-minute meal in 30 minutes. It was 3 hours to get through that process because I couldn't remember. I would go into the kitchen. Why am I here?
Oh my gosh.
You know, and I would go back. Oh yeah, it's just about dinner time. Back in the kitchen. Open the refrigerator. Okay, why do I have the refrigerator open? Mm. Oh yeah, I'm making dinner. Let's see what's in here. Wow. And it's like this continual reset back to the beginning of the process because I can't hold on to the reason I'm here doing what I'm doing. And it had gotten really bad. And it was in these extreme straits that I started paying more attention to that little quiet voice in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
The one that when you're looking down a list of bankruptcy attorneys that says that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so since the intellect wasn't working, you got to have some kind of a decision-making tree. And so I started to rely on that more. And so I found a bankruptcy attorney that allowed us to do something that shouldn't have been possible. And I call this my trust training ground, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I've made this decision. And there's always this like second guessing voice. At least I have the second guessing voice. Is that the right choice?
Oh, we all have that. I've
considered more. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That one.
Yeah.
And so I got validation that these choices were the right ones because this guy looked at our situation and made some recommendations that were really in our favor. He's like, you need to have this payer bankruptcy, not the clean slate bankruptcy, because of the trustee. The trustee on the clean slate likes to bust self-directed IRAs, which we had one. It's like, this is my last asset. Don't take my last asset, right?
Yeah.
And so he's like, you got to have a payer bankruptcy. We didn't have income. It's like, okay, I trust that this is what we're to do, and I trust that this is going to work out. And so we went through a bunch of these situations where it's like, okay, we'll go down that road. But this bankruptcy attorney was great because he looked out for those kind of problems. And when I came to him and said, look, my husband needs another advanced degree in order to get the kind of jobs he needs to have, he figured out how we could make grad school happen while we were in bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Which ought to be another mutually exclusive sort of thing, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And so a bunch of circumstances happened like that. I won't run you through all of them. But at some point it came time, he'd found income. We were living in a house that didn't belong to us. With no rent, you know, we had all kinds of amazing events that came together to support this path, which is confirmation that you're on the right path. Mm-hmm. The money wasn't there, but the things that we needed were there. Yeah. And I found the right doctor. I'd been looking for one of these zebras for a while, which is the functional medicine guy who takes insurance.
Nice. Yeah, he's hard to find. Or
yeah,
she.
they are. They're really super rare. They're like hen's teeth. Yeah. And I found one. And so I went to him and he started doing all of the tests that they do when they do a blood draw. It's not like two tubes, like when you normally go to get blood tests. It's like they bring over this rack of tubes. I'm like, why is she bringing everybody's tubes over? And she proceeded to fill them all up. Like, dang, I'm going to need a transfusion when we're done. But, you know, he ruled out a bunch of stuff, heavy metals. We looked at my methylation profiles. Methylation is the on-off switch for your metabolism. Mm. And so it controls things like how much and which brain chemicals you make. Is your metabolism fast or slow? These kinds of things are controlled by that methylation. And I did have some methylation problems. So there was a beautiful answer that came there. It answered why I've always struggled with organic depression. And there are things you can do about that. So that was great, but it didn't get me better. It didn't help the problem with my mind. And we got down to the end of like the sets of tests that he does. And he's like, you know, your Lyme test came back negative, but I don't buy it. Now, the thing to know about the approved Lyme test that's out there, and this is the science nerd in me that's going to pop forward here. there are two things that you need to have an effective test. One is it has to be specific to the thing. So if it says that you've got it, that is what you have. It's not a relative of it. It's very specific. The other thing it has to do is be sufficiently sensitive. And this is where the current Lyme test comes up short, because it doesn't have a very low sensitivity.
The threshold is way too high.
Yeah, you've got to have a shit ton of Lyme stuff floating around for it to come back as positive. Mm-hmm. And so the thing that most physicians don't know, and I like to put this out there, because if you've been tested for Lyme and it came back negative, you might still have Lyme.
Right.
It might just be in a different phase of its life cycle, not producing enough Lyme stuff for the test to see it. And that was my situation. And so he's like, I strongly suspect we need to dig deeper on this Lyme situation because of that lack of sensitivity and the fact that it has three different life forms in your system. And there's only one form that's sensitive to antibiotics. The other two don't respond to antibiotics. And so you can kill all the stuff that's swimming around in your blood, but it's not going to take care of the other two forms. And so
compromise you more than
you'll be fine for a while. And then, you know, it'll come back because they'll hatch out of the cysts and do their thing. So there were two other tests that he did for that, looking for biofilm, which is part of what it uses to protect itself. And I forget what the other one was. And it came back that, oh yeah, she got it. And my blood's like ketchup because of this biofilm.
Oh gosh. And is that the cognitive then? Because there wasn't enough flow?
The cognitive thing, and this is something that most people don't know, is Lyme is a relative of syphilis. And if you remember high school health class, untreated syphilis will eat your brain.
Yes.
And Lyme will do the same thing. And that that was the stage I had gotten to because I'd had it for so long.
Can I ask you, is Lyme contracted or only contracted? I mean, I know that you can contract it, or is it also just,
How Lyme is transmitted from person to person. Mm-hmm. The one that everyone agrees on, all the conventional doctors, is it's a tick-borne illness. So you need a tick bite to catch it. Mm-hmm. That's the one that all the scientists agree on. It's a relative of syphilis, which is sexually transmitted. And so there is a school of thought out there that it may also be transmittable through sex. It doesn't do it very easily, but there's a suspicion that that is possible.
So it might, of course, I'm speculating and I'm not a doctor, but it might be something that is like the way that HIV is transmitted. It has to be like blood to blood. And so, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like, and so the tick has got blood and he puts blood in you, you know?
Yeah, it's like using a hypodermic needle, the tick.
Yes.
Which is why it goes so easily. Sex, especially if you're talking your heterosexual kind of stuff, does not seem to be as easily transmitted through that route, but there's a suspicion that it can be.
And HIV is the same way because with just, you know, that with heterosexual, you know, that you have to have like cuts on both genitals, probably, I think, right? Isn't that basically it?
I don't know that it's necessarily a requirement. I think it makes it easier, certainly. Makes it easier.
Or if one person has a cut and the other and then the fluid, the other, fluid.
Well, involved. And sperm carries it. And so there you go, you know.
Yeah.
So that's just something I'm going to throw out there because some people are like, but I've never, ever, ever, ever had a tick bite. I was raised in nature. I was raised in northern Minnesota. I know I've had tick bites.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it used to be that they thought it was restricted to like the ticks in the northeast of the U.S. and a very specific type of tick, the deer tick, which deer is super tick, hard to see. Since then, they've discovered any tick can carry it, and it's really pandemic. You can get it in any part of the world that has ticks.
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up in Texas. Yeah. I got tick bites 30 times a summer.
Exactly. It was normal. You came in from outside, and your mom's like, get over here. Let's look through your
hair. I just have one, like, hanging out on me.
Exactly. Well, those are the easy ones, right?
Yeah.
And we will be right back.
Hello, my friend. It's Trisha Carr. I'm here to invite you to my coaching and mentoring portal, Modern Mystic Life. This high-value, easy-access portal is like having a spiritual mentor right in your pocket. You'll receive all the inspiration right there in your text messenger, and you can also access it on your desktop. I will be delivering the tools and technology that are proven to evolve your abundant life inside and out. You will receive daily inspiration, education, and practices to help you evolve your life as a mystic and a human spiritual being. Plus, you will have access to my monthly workshops in which I teach and channel cutting-edge spiritual content and also will give guidance, intuitive readings, and attunements right there in our group setting. I worked with Spirit to co-create and manifest the best way to support you and in the easiest fashion, and here it is. I'm very excited to co-create with you too. So, welcome, my friend, to your Modern Mystic Life.
Hi, friend, it's Trisha Carr with an invitation for you. If you are ready to accelerate your ascension and connect to the swift flow of your life mission, Mind Body Ascension Acceleration Coaching. All of my clinical training, my experience from teaching and providing countless sessions and classes, one-on-one, group coaching, healing, reading, teaching, channeling, as well as my calibration as a human design reflector, I'm offering all of this to you to step up your entire life, to accelerate your ascension walk. If you've had a single session with me, if you've had coaching, or if you've experienced transformation from any of my offerings, my classes, podcasts, videos, well, this is an accelerated and exponentially charged. This is what my soul has prepared for an eternity and up to now.
And if you hear this call, then this is also co-created with your soul. Your life is meant to be joy first and a service as a close and integrated second. Let me tell you some of the results that you can expect from going through a mind-body ascension accelerator. Confidence and clarity that you are living your spiritual mission. Mastery over the mind, utilizing it as a tool to create your life. And also an upgraded nervous system. Improved physical well-being, body composition improvement, reduction of inflammation and or chronic issues, improved relationships, an understanding of who you are in partnership, and of powerful tools to design fantastic partnerships, healing of past pain and trauma, and skills to continue to self-heal, excitement about and empowerment in your personal spiritual practice, and a map to continue to walk your ascension path and to overflow to serve others. This coaching is especially tuned for high achievers who want to accelerate their progress on their life mission and create mind-body well-being and higher attunement. Submit to work with me in this powerful container, this premium coaching. If you feel the call, you can do it. I guide, you take action. I hold the resonant projection field, channel your steps, and you take action. The first action step is to fill out an application, the link to which you will find in the description. Be prepared, be ready to upgrade your mind-body ascension and your connection and flow with your spiritual mission. And now back to the show.
So we discovered the answer, which was great. But the solution was the more challenging thing. Mm-hmm. And I guess the thing that I will interject here is this is my reverse Job process that's happening here. Yeah. I don't know if I called that story forward earlier. Mm-hmm. But if you remember the story of Job from the Bible, it's that he had an incredible faith. And the test was to see if he would hold on to it when he lost everything in his world.
Yeah.
And in my case, it was to see if I would gain some faith. Let's just keep taking her toys away until she goes, you know what? There might be something more. Mm-hmm. And the doctor, after he diagnosed this, came back and said, look, I've got this treatment plan. It's a 70% success rate, which is pretty darn good with longstanding Lyme. Mm-hmm. It's a 2-year plan. And he's got this long list of like exotic antibiotics. Some of them have to be by IV. They're clearing IVs that he does every few weeks as you're going through this plan because Lyme is toxic and it's worse when you kill it. Mm-hmm. And so he sent me home with oral antibiotics in this great big plan. And I called my insurance company because this stuff's going to be expensive and I'm in bankruptcy. Remember, there's no spare money. Anything that's quote unquote spare goes to the trustee. And so I called him up and the conversation, oh my God. I said, here's the deal. I've got this diagnosis. I've got the treatment plan. What of this are you going to cover? And the agent on the other end of the line replied, we don't believe in chronic Lyme. And I thought to myself,
well, that's helpful.
Isn't that convenient? We don't believe in that.
Wow.
How nice for you.
That's infuriating.
It really is. And she further went, we'll do 60 days of oral antibiotics, doctor's visits, that's it. I'm like, okay, well, at least I've got doctor's visits, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I learned as I was going through this process is that questions are really powerful and they always get answered, no matter how off the cuff they are. Mm-hmm. And this question, I did not ask out loud. I just thought it in my mind. I'm like, well, can it get any worse? And as we're getting off the phone, she says, oh, yes. And your doctor's no longer in network.
Oh, the only person who is...
who was covered in the first place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, okay, fine. But I think part of that was to show me how powerful questions are. And then I got another reminder of how powerful questions are a couple of weeks later. But I got off the phone with them and said, well, geez, I don't know how I'm going to make this happen, because I'd run the calculator on everything that he listed there, because it gives you the cost. You know, a clearing IV is $250, and this is $500, and this is, and it adds up very, very quickly. And I got a total something around $28,000 for the first year. Mm. Okay. Yeah. This was going to be a lot of money to go through this entire protocol. And so I said, well, I can think of only one other place I can turn, because my husband's working full time. He's going to grad school full time. He's picking up my slack around the house because I'm barely functional. He's taking care of me on the really bad days. So it's not like he has any bandwidth to go find additional sources of income. We're in bankruptcy, so loans are not an option. And I can't get a job in this state because I can't remember what the frick I'm doing long enough to make a 30-minute meal. Yeah. So it's like, all right, this is not something I ever saw myself doing, but I'm going to call my father. Mm-hmm. I was raised by a German and a Norwegian. It's like, you're 18, you're out the house, you're on your own. Don't think you're coming back or any of that kind of stuff. Yeah. So my parents had always been really clear about that. But I figured if there was one time to make an exception, this might be the one.
Yeah.
Because it'll put me back on the road of being able to take care of my own self. And I had a conversation with Dad, and the bank of Dad was empty.
Oh.
I know. It's like, now what do I do? And that night, I laid down next to my husband. I wasn't sleeping at this stage because my brain had deteriorated so far. Mm. It just stops going through the regular cycles. Yeah. And so I had figured out if I meditate as best I can, at least I feel a little bit more rested when I wake up in the morning than if I just kind of roll and don't attempt to meditate. Mm-hmm. But that night, meditation was not possible. My brain was like this trapped squirrel, and it's going down all the pathways, and well, maybe we can get a loan, or maybe we can do this, or maybe we can do that. And I'm hitting all these same blocks that I've already gone through, and there's nothing new is popping up. And about 3 a.m., I just gave up, I guess, for lack of a better word. It was like, I'm exhausted. There aren't any answers. I have no answers for how I fix this. And it feels like I'm trapped in a cage with a lock on it. And I can see the keys. They're right there. And I can put my arm between the bars and reach and stretch my shoulder and try and inch out as much as I can. And the keys are still beyond the end of my fingertips. Mm-hmm. And I decided there was really only one option left. Had not talked to God in decades at this point. And a lot of the reason I hadn't talked to God was I was raised in a very, what I would call, religious abuse sort of congregation. It was so fundamentalist. Right. It wasn't even funny. No drinking, no dancing, y'all sinners. You know, hellfire and brimstone. And it didn't jive with what my personal understanding of God is. Mm-hmm. Even the Old Testament doesn't jive with my understanding of what God is. He would never tell you to go wage war on somebody else.
Right.
Go take back the promised land. No, if you're going to give me the land, it would have been available.
There's a lot of spiritual bypassing in that Old Testament.
There really, really is.
A lot
is.
Of dudes and, justifying their actions.
Yeah, exactly.
Blaming God.
I channeled it. It's inspired. You know? Don't get me started on channeling.
Right, totally.
Anyway, so that kind of put a wedge between me and the divine for a long time.
Yeah.
I had a lot of recovering to do from that upbringing. But in this moment, it's like, I'm going to talk to the God that I know and understand. Mm-hmm. And with all my being, I said one really super simple prayer. And it was, God, I will do anything to get better.
Yeah.
And I got the answer straight away. Little voice in the back of my mind said, really? Anything? And that kind of stopped me for a second, right? Anything is broad, no edges on anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Murder? I mean,
I don't want to end up in one of those situations, right? And so I'm thinking about, okay, what actually are my edges? Mm-hmm. Okay. Not going to kill people, not going to lie and cheat and steal and do all that kind of stuff. This is, I believe in treating people fairly, in being straightforward, and you know, what you see is what you get. And I thought about what my understanding of God is, and I'm reminded of all the Old Testament garbage. And inside myself, I knew that that Old Testament garbage is not God.
Yeah.
Okay. The God I know is loving. He wants the best for me. He wants the best for the people around me, whether I know them, don't know them, whether they are quote unquote good people or quote unquote bad people. He wants the best for all of us. He loves all of us. I don't think he's sending anybody to hell either, but that's a whole nother discussion.
Yeah. No, right. The concept of God is apparent in what, and nothing that is not parent, you know, and any.
Yeah. Well, and not even parent as we understand parent, but good parent.
Good. Exactly. That's what I mean.
Good parent.
I
want to say exactly.
Perfect parent, you know. Yeah. Flawless, if we can, but that's the concept. It's a frequency. And so every human being, even if they're the worst parent operating from their wounds and flaws, loves their child. And you know
Absolutely.
What I mean? Like it's just flesh of your flesh. And so that's right.
And so after I'd kind of kicked all that around, I decided that for God, I would do anything. And I responded specifically addressing God in case there was anyone else listening who might want to take this differently.
Yeah, murder and stealing, all of that. That's human. That's human. That's non-God.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's off the table. And I said, God, for you, I will do anything.
Yeah.
And I got my first miracle because I fell asleep that night. Oh,
wow.
Had not fallen asleep in weeks.
Ooh, that feels so amazing. I'm just like there living it with you.
It makes such a difference. It's like, oh, hallelujah. Yeah. And I woke up in the morning with a clarity that I had to get a clearing IV that I had no idea how I was going to pay for, but doctors are patient and thank heavens. And so I went over and I'm in the infusion room getting this IV. I don't know how I'm paying for. And the doctor actually walked into the infusion room, which he didn't do. That's where he sends you and the nurses deal with you.
Yeah.
So I'm like, there's a reason he's here. So I waved him over and explained, you know, what had gone on with the insurance company and our personal circumstances. And that basically I'm an extremely poor cash pay client. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, well, it's good that insurance is out of the picture. I'm like, oh, really? He says, yeah, it actually opens up your options a lot. Because we have a naturopath and herbalist who's on our staff who's absolutely brilliant with infections and parasitic infections specifically. And that's what Lyme really is. It's a parasitic infection.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And his office visits are half the price of mine. I'm like, okay, check. That's a beautiful thing. I still don't know how I'm paying for half of what yours is, but at least it's half. And he uses herbs to do all of this work. And the herbs are like $30 to $40 a bottle. Mm-hmm. Which is a lot better than a $250 IV.
Right.
So, okay, great. And I made an appointment to see him on my way out of the doctor's office that day. When I got back to have that appointment, I was told they were running late. And so I'm sitting in the waiting room looking for something to occupy my very busy, albeit somewhat broken mind.
Yeah.
and lots of magazines, which don't really turn my crank. And then there's one book. Okay, a book. That'll get my attention. Got the book and looked at the cover, and it says The Emotion Code on the front by Dr. Bradley Nelson. And emotions, I have been struggling with all my life, because what I was raised with was, unless it's, you know, happy, and don't be too happy, they're mostly unacceptable. Anger occasionally under certain circumstances, but not too much of that either. Mm-hmm. And mostly just shove it down and pretend it's not there and didn't happen, mm-hmm. which is a terrible way to deal with your emotions. So I wanted to know what this man knew, if he has a code around emotions.
Well, that really, and that speaks to your intellect too. Code?
I can do code. Well, code, digital? It's got a structure. Yeah. It, you know, exactly. Programming works for me, right? Yeah. So I got started on the book, and I'm buying into his premise, and then the person who owns the book came back for it. Uh-huh. Now I got to buy the dang book. But it was really helpful. I was, you know, moving stuff out that mm-hmm. I hadn't been able to ever move before, starting to release triggers and some of this kind of stuff. This is pretty good stuff. And he has this section on heart walls, which I know for a fact I have before I even try and muscle test it. Mm-hmm. And I read his section, and it made sense why I should perhaps consider operating without one of these. Mm-hmm. And so I started taking mine down in a very systematic manner because I'm still that scientist. I know how many emotions are in there. We can do 10 emotions a day. I should be through this in, you know, 3 months. And as I'm taking this heart wall down, weird shit starts happening. There's no other way to say it. I start seeing crossed over dead people. Mm-hmm. Fairies, auras, angels. It's like, okay, this is really weird. I start hearing things and knowing things that I have no way to know, seeing things from the past, seeing things from the future. And the scientist in me is going, okay, you've got more brain damage than you realize.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like writing all of it off.
The left brain now is starting to be compromised. And so the right brain, with its metaphor fantasy, and the, you know, that's what a scientist would say.
Yeah, it's starting to. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I keep getting more of this kind of information coming in, and it's getting hard to go into like Walmart or the grocery store, because it's like walking into this rock concert that's at full volume. It's like this body hit of energy. Oh my gosh, I don't know what's happening to me, but this is like horrendous. And there's a part of me that's like, put the wall back up. It's like, no, I'm not going to put the wall back up, but we got to figure out how to deal with this, right? And I'm still half convinced that if I share this with my husband or anyone, I'm going to end up in one of those mm-hmm. white copes with the wraparound sleeves.
Yeah.
Because this is all this stuff is way beyond anything.
Yeah.
That the scientist is halfway prepared for. And I'm not really accepting any of it very easily at this point. Mm-hmm. And I came back from a trip to the grocery store. And I see my neighbor, and she's helping her husband into the house. He's much larger than she is, and he's doubled over in what's visibly a lot of pain. Mm. So let the ice cream melt. We're going to go help them. And so I went over and I helped her get him in the house. And she's explaining that his kidneys are really bad. He's having a really acute phase with his kidneys, and she's really worried and going to go try to get an emergency appointment. I'm like, you do that. I'll stay here with him and try to make him comfortable. I'll at least keep him company, right?
Yeah.
Because kidney pain is there's nothing you can, there's no position, there's nothing you can do that really alleviates it. Mm-hmm. And so we're standing in the living room, I'm holding his hands because, you know, whatever human comfort I can offer. Mm-hmm. And I see his eyes are closed, his lips are moving, and I know them to be profoundly devout people. He dedicated his entire working life to being in the ministry in many different forms. She was a parochial school teacher for many, many years. I know them to be very, very devout people. And so I realize I'm watching him having this private moment with his God. Mm-hmm. Might be my God too. We don't know.
Yeah. Right. A little overlap. We'll see.
There could be a little overlap, and I'm not very comfortable with it. A, because it's his private moment, and B, I just had my first conversation a couple of weeks ago in a very, very long time, and I ain't been back. And so I closed my eyes. And when I closed them, I saw this like little pilot light bouncing and dancing in my mind's eye. Mm-hmm. And I was given this understanding that that's literally where he's at right now. He's on the edge of going, Oh, goodness. Wow. Exactly. And I asked a question, didn't direct it anywhere in particular, or even consider who I might be asking. But the question I asked in my mind was, can we do something about this? Mm-hmm. And the instant I asked the question, that fire became like this roaring bonfire. Mm. And my eyes flew open because he dropped my hands in that same moment. And I'm like, what's going on, right? Is he in distress, falling down? And he says, are you a healer?
Oh, wow.
And I'm dumbfounded. I'm looking around to see who he's talking to, because this, nowhere in my reality is this. Mm. And I was saved from having to come up with any kind of an answer, because his wife came back saying, we've got the appointment, but we've got to leave right now. So I hustle him out to the car, and I go hide in my house for 2 days. While the scientist goes freaking apeshit, right? No way in hell did anything happen there. And I'm doing all kinds of justifying and writing off. And it took 2 days to kind of guilt myself into going back next door.
Yeah.
And
well, you needed to get ready. You needed
Well, you know, and I needed to kind of be in a place where I felt like everything is
the questions might be still normal. Hanging out there.
Yeah, but maybe they aren't thinking about it. Well, and there's this part of me, I've convinced myself that he's maybe in the ICU, or who knows, God mm-hmm. help us, she's planning a funeral, and I haven't brought over chicken soup or checked to see if I can help in any way. And so I kind of, like, you're a bad neighbor, guilted myself to go back next door. And I tapped on the door. She opened it, which was a surprise, because I figured she's probably sitting in the ICU with him. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. she was home. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then she smiled really big. I'm like, okay, so maybe he's not at death's door. And she says, oh, I'm so glad to see you. Come on in. Jay has so many questions. And my stomach sunk through my like, feet.
Me too. What?
No, I got no answers for those questions. I just convinced myself that those questions didn't exist. And so I come in the living room, and there he is. He's kicked back in his Barca lounger. He's got his remote and his book and his drink at his elbow, looking fat and happy. Okay, very different than when I saw him last. And I said, how you doing? He says, you know what? It was the strangest thing. By the time I got to the doctor's office, I was feeling pretty good. And they put me through the whole range of tests that they normally put me through. And it was the weirdest thing, because my test came back normal. Mm. I haven't had normal kidney function in a couple of decades.
Wow.
Wow is right. And that was the moment the scientist in me had to sit down and shut the fuck up.
Finally.
Well, because, you know, you need a certain level of evidence to sway people.
Well, she can be the assistant eventually, right?
Well, yeah. Now we have kind of this uneasy detente, right? It's like, there are moments, you know, come on out. Let's do some project planning.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so that was my awakening story. Mm-hmm. And it was difficult, to say the least. Mm-hmm. You know, they use butterflies a lot as analogies in spiritual life for transformation. And I would say it was definitely a butterfly kind of thing, because I was this inchworm just going along suddenly with this compulsion to pack myself full of food, hang upside down, barf all over myself. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly I'm melting down into this unrecognizable goo and being put back together in this strange configuration that makes no sense to my previous experience.
Yeah. The caterpillar and the chrysalis, like you said, you know, it completely disintegrates itself.
Yes, completely.
Entirely. And that seems like that's what was happening to every, like you said, your toys being taken away.
And everything mm-hmm. that I knew and understood was being taken apart, pulled mm-hmm. away, and eventually put back together. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just in my outside world, but even more profoundly on my inside world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a remarkable story. Clearly you're healthy now. And that's incredible.
That's the part of the story I always forget. Yes, my Lyme was cured working with this naturopath herbalist, and that was taken care of in about 3 months.
Not 2 years, but 3 months?
Not 2 years, 3 months.
Because now, insurance was taken away.
Yeah, exactly. I'd have never, ever gone down that road if I'd had the money to pay for that big-ass plan.
It would have I also want to, not to digress, but I want to point out the divine, precise, beautiful synchronicity of the earth angel who left the book behind for a moment. Yes. I love noticing those things when we think we're running late or we've made a mistake. Mm-hmm. It's not, you may be needing to be in exactly that right position for yourself or someone else. Who knows?
Yeah. And I'm sure they never realized the difference that book made in my life. Of course. There's no way.
Right. Yeah. And we don't know the ways that we're touching people's lives and even how our lives are being touched by others, because the non-existence, the non-presence of someone could be the thing that is shifting our lives too. You know what I mean? If someone was late or something.
Yeah, it allows
like that.
Opportunities for the ones mm-hmm. that are present when one is not present.
Right.
That they wouldn't have otherwise had. Well, and that was one of the things as I was moving into like listening to that little quiet voice. Mm-hmm. I'm still a scientist. I do experiments, right? Mm-hmm. Let's test this hypothesis mm-hmm. because that's the only way I know if it's going to work. And so I don't just go, "Ooh, this is the thing." Okay, let's go on the premise that this might work and let's put it into practice, see what I think of putting it into practice. Am I getting a result that is helpful and makes sense? Do mm-hmm. I want to continue down this road? Do I not? Do I want to change the experiment a little bit, right? So I still experiment. I just experiments of one on myself.
Yeah, sure. So it's like like pseudoscience, which people think that pseudoscience is like derogatory term, but it just means that there's some scientific tools, but it doesn't have to be a repeatable empirical evidence, you know, a billion times like with the scientific.
Yeah, I don't need 400 all of that. Person study to say whether this is a working functioning strategy for me.
Right. Yes, yes.
And so one of my experiments was I'm going to ask the voice, not willing to call it anything yet. Yeah. I'm going to ask the voice when I go out to go someplace about the route to get there. Do I go left or right at this intersection? Do I go straight? Right. And so I'm listening for what's the nudge. Okay. So sometimes I might go right and go to the grocery store. Sometimes I might go left and go to the grocery store. And one of the things that I noticed that kind of perplexed me to start, and it goes back to your point, is I wasn't arriving on time anymore. On time. That's my rational mind again. Sure. I have a plan. I'm on time or early. This is how I roll. And after a few weeks of doing this and being routed past all of the people pulled over on the side of the road and car accidents and all of this kind of stuff, house fires, I was like sitting with the divine going, why are you sending me past all of this mm-hmm. stuff? Mm-hmm. And the answer is because my presence there makes a difference.
Yes. Amen.
And it's not even that I necessarily get out of my car and mm-hmm. do anything. A lot of times it looks like it's being handled. There's really no obvious reason I'm there, except that when I see something like that, my heart opens up with mm-hmm. great compassion for everyone involved. Because everybody involved in that is having a shitty ass day.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I send love. I invoke, you know, the highest and best for them. I leave angels behind.
Compassion. You know,
compassion. Exactly.
One of the topics that we align on is being an empath. And that's what I think the empathic nature is meant to be, a walking prayer. As we are walking through the world, we are a prayer. We are an activity of prayer, as opposed to when it's malfunctioning, we are a walking autoimmune disease.
Well, yeah, exactly. I call it a Velcro aura, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
A lot of empaths, we have this Velcro aura, and we pick up all the stuff, which is nice for the people who enter our aura. Because
they just feel better afterwards, but temporary. They have maybe a moment of relief, but it's not
exactly. It doesn't necessarily transform them.
Yeah,
but like sometimes you need those moments of relief.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can see
relieve the symptoms
more clearly. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So that was kind of interesting that I had to approach time with a different perspective. And one of the mantras that I used as I was going through that stage was, there's always exactly enough time.
Yes.
I will arrive in the perfect moment. And as I continued with this practice, I discovered even when I was quote unquote late, I always arrived at the perfect moment.
Yes. I've done that practice with my teeth gritting, mad at myself because I was late and I was like, perfect timing. And I'm like, okay, I'm just trying to invoke it, even though I'm mad at myself. And I walk up to the door 15 minutes late to a situation where being late was humiliating. I walk up to the door and then the person who with the appointment walks out goes, oh my gosh, I thought we were meeting later. I'm sorry, I'm late, she says.
I usually find that for some reason the start has been delayed or they decided, you know what, we need to cancel.
When I have to cancel or reschedule something and I'm, you know, giving amends, I'm in a way holding peace because I'm like, I really haven't done anything wrong. I've talked to myself and did my best, but I'm still going to offer the amends in case this is inconvenient for you. I always get at least, if it's a class or whatever, I get at least one feedback. Someone says to me, I'm so glad you did that because of this, this, and this. Every time I'm able to just approach a rescheduling, canceling event with clarity, it just, I get the feedback that it is divine timing actually.
Yeah. And it actually is working out well for them. I occasionally have things. Well, I mean, we're still living life, right?
Sure.
When you move into following your soul, there are mistakes that get made. Life happens, right? It just does. You know, Google messes up and doesn't have it on the calendar or something, or somebody comes and says, we have to move this to here. And now suddenly I've got to move a bunch of people around on my schedule. And I find that too. I'll talk to them and they're like, oh, good, I was fixing to call you and let you know or whatever. And so I've been able to relax into it more, right?
I have to observe that I rescheduled this, I think, three times, at least three. I rescheduled our
appointment. Yeah, this is the third one.
This is the third one. And, you know, the first one, I really hadn't made an error. And the second one, I had COVID. You know what I mean?
Like, which is an ironclad excuse.
I can't. There's no fighting.
You get a free pass with illness. Totally.
But of course, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm rescheduling again. And then this one, I got to tell you right now, this is divinely timed because I've been actually dealing with post-COVID. And I knew that when I got here and when I get taken into a meeting with someone, they're holding space, your presence is making me. And so I don't have any of those post-COVID. I'm able to move through what, and by the way, the post-COVID is divinely timed as well because my physical body is releasing by the process of that in the same way your Lyme disease helped you to trigger spiritual awakening, you know. Anyway, so yes, if we can come present and allow spirit or divinity or presence to show us, then we can see. We can let love correct the wrongs, even in the past.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about the work that you're doing now. And we both came together with excitement on this idea of soul contracts and past life vows and covenants and stuff. So this is the kind of work that you do one-on-one sessions. What is the model of your work? Mm-hmm.
I do something that I call conscious enlightenment sessions.
Okay.
And how we approach this is we start with your soul contract, mm-hmm. which I can figure out from your birth name. And then we look at what in your contract right now is showing up in your life that's like, I am so freaking over this.
I don't want to interrupt too much, but with the birth name, is it just by intuiting from the birth name or are you using a modality like numerology?
It's an actual system. It's called the Numerology of Moses, and it was channeled by Frank Elper in like the 60s or 70s.
Oh my
like
gosh.
That.
I want all of that. Numerology of Moses. Everyone's like pulling over their Moses. Cars yeah, right now.
Write this down.
So there's one of those guys from the Old Testament that we're letting redeem into our awareness with this, at least. Yeah. Well, he didn't write it. So,
well, you know.
They wrote about him.
Frank said that Moses is the one that gave him this numerology.
Oh, I love it.
It is based loosely on the Hebrew alphabet and some numbers associated with that, along with the tree of life and some other sacred geometry.
Yes, I love all of that. Well, there's so exactly. much, you know, all of these digits and like, for example, like the really ancient languages like Hebrew or Sanskrit, they are just so charged full of so much energy. They're egregores in and of themselves. And like Hebrew,
they spent centuries infusing this language with
human prayer, human love,
with and connection, and exactly.
Yes. Yeah. And so, okay, what was his last name again? Frank?
Elper, Alper. He's no longer in this world. There are a number of people out there who have picked up his work.
Great.
So you can track it down. They tend to call it soul contract work when they put it out there. So I learned that and put that together with a couple of different healing modalities a lot of healing modalities. One that I was trained in was kind of what I want to call this umbrella modality. It's got tarot in it. It's got theta healing. It's got EFT. It's got a bunch of stuff all kind of smashed together. Yeah. And so it makes for a nice structure to work from. So I do a fair amount of work under that particular structure. But the other thing that I've discovered as I've moved farther into this healing work and process is a thing called light body surgery.
Oh,
because we bring in things to help us really experience separation in this world.
Yes.
And at some point when you're on this enlightenment journey and growth journey, you want a clearer connection.
Yes. I've done this for myself. I've called it psychic surgery. It would be probably to have someone do it for you who's more objective just because they're not you. That sounds very powerful, but I've done it before.
It's hugely
it's like,
powerful.
Wow.
And it's like flipping a switch. Mm-hmm. It's faster than hypnosis, and hypnosis is fast.
Yes. Yeah. It's, I mean, and it is done obviously in a deeply, you know, a deep state.
Relaxed.
You have
state,
to be in a state.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's fantastic. And the light body surgery is something you've sort of, you developed.
That is something that I was doing kind of spontaneously and naturally. I then found somebody who actually has a system.
Oh, cool. Good. Systems are great. I love systems.
I got trained in that system. I've since parted ways with him because he's got some philosophies that rub me very strongly the wrong way. So it's thank you. And I'm going my own way. So I have these amazing tools in my toolbox, including the hypnotherapy certification, life between lives, all that good stuff. And so what we do with that foundation and this pack of tools that I have is we follow your soul's urging through your body because our healing journey, it's kind of like peeling an onion. Right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times someone will come to me and say, I have this money problem. Mm-hmm. that's rarely where we actually start.
Yeah, you usually because you have a mom problem.
Yeah, or a self-love problem, yes, or a daddy problem, yeah, or some other sort of thing going on. And so we'll start wherever your soul tells us to start. Sure. And it talks to us through your physical body.
Yeah.
And so when you're in session, you relax and it's like, tune into your body. Is there a part of your body talking to you? And mm-hmm. then we uncover and follow what the body is sharing with us, mm-hmm. because that's how your higher self will talk to us and go, okay, here, you've got stuff stored over here you need to take care of. You've got stuff over here you need to take care of. And usually after about 4 sessions, done and dusted.
Yeah.
Moving along.
So true. And you know, there was, I don't know if you know about this study, it was in 2011, and just about hypnosis, this study found that there was roughly 6 hypnosis sessions to like almost 400.
600 or something crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. Of cognitive behavioral therapy or some kind of talk therapy model.
Yeah. I've seen that study. And the other thing, not just the number of sessions, but the effectiveness of the treatment, because the talk therapy, you got to 300-600 sessions, mm-hmm. and the improvement was like 38%.
Yeah, exactly.
With the hypnotherapy, it's in the 90s.
Yeah. It's amazing. Like,
well, and where where do I want to spend my money?
and not only that, like then you can learn to self hypnotize. You can learn self hypnosis from that process and continue your self treatment.
I teach a client. Mm-hmm. Here's a little script you can walk through anytime you want to walk through. Put your whatever hypno affirmation in there that you want to be using. Mm-hmm. And it further accelerates the process.
Yes. And that's the thing.
And I love it when people can go off and do their own stuff.
Have to, right? Because
life I don't need you married to me forever.
No, and life is happening every day. I mean, and so don't you want your life and your to be improving every day? Who doesn't want that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and shit will continue to happen, right? Because life
shit is happening every day.
So there will be other things that are going to pop up for you mm-hmm. as you go down the road. And if you can nip those in the bud, mm-hmm. so much better than waiting for like full blown PTSD to come on and then try and take it on.
And the soul contract is alive and it's happening every day. And how you're responding to it, how you're interacting, dancing with it. And that's actually the urge, people saying, I want to find my soul purpose. It's not lost. You're in it. You're on it.
You're in it. You're on it. You're probably on track and you just don't recognize it. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the places I love to go watch soul contract in action, mm-hmm. because your soul contract is in the vibration of your birth name. And it remains in the vibration of whatever name permutations you take on after that. I think of your birth contract like the chocolate cake of your existence. And then name changes are like the frosting and the filling that mm-hmm. goes on the cake. Mm-hmm. And so if you were born with a chocolate cake contract, you can choose to go with plain chocolate cake. You can choose to put like a chocolate mousse filling in the center and chocolate fudge icing on the outside. And you can have this death by chocolate kind of experience. And if that gets kind of heavy and overwhelming, you can go, okay, let's do jellied cherries in the center and whipped cream on it. And we'll have a Black Forest cake experience, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what name changes and nicknames do for you. It gives you access to a different experience of your chocolate cake. Mm-hmm. And I love watching the soul contract in action because we're all connected to our superconscious, our mm-hmm. higher self, whether we know it or not.
Right.
And so I'm a people watcher, so I don't mind waiting in the DMV because it's like people watching heaven. And this is one place where you can really see the soul contract in action. Mm-hmm. If you pick an agent and you just watch the agent, everyone who shows up to that agent is going to have a different experience. Some people will walk up and it'll be like, okay, yeah, fabulous. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, you've got this one little thing. We'll tweak that. You're fine. Boom, keep going. Mm-hmm. And then the next person who comes up can't breathe right. Mm. Everything they do is wrong. They don't have mm-hmm. any of the right stuff. She's not going to help them with anything. And you better just go get your shit sorted out. And they send them down the road. Yeah. And that's like soul contract in action. Mm-hmm. When the name is given over, her superconscious goes, this is the experience you're supposed to give this person.
Oh, yes. And especially at the DMV, because it, well, I mean, at the DMV, it's going to have, if you've changed your name, but still it's in there. You can still.
It's the first thing you lead with. They're sure. Like, give me your driver's license, your identification. The name is like front and center.
But even, and but as I said, like my
even if your birth name is not on your ID,
You can still tap into it.
I carry right now is not front and center. You see my chocolate frosting before you see the chocolate cake on the inside.
Right.
But she can get to that because they're all connected.
Yeah. It's still the portal of
the universe knows that I'm running chocolate cake with mousse and fudge. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Got it.
And so her superconscious gets that and goes, okay, this is the experience that she's supposed to have and will serve that up for me.
Mm. I'm recalling I had this really amazing experience. I was about to have surgery, and it was the first time I'd ever had surgery, and it wasn't major, but still, it's scary. And
still, it's anxiety provoking. Totally. Yeah, you hear things.
And I was, and it was like, it was laparoscopic. I'll just share that bit. So I was, but I was lying there. I was all prepped, and I was just waiting. You know, they'd done the everything they do. They do your put on the cap and the whole thing, and I'm just waiting in the, you know, area with just separated by the curtains. And I got really scared. I was like, wait, did I actually ask for sure if this is, you know, did I talk to God and make sure this is supposed to happen? Like, I started panicking as if I forgot.
Please tell me my God squad is here taking care of me right now, because
And I panicked for a moment, and then a nurse came in, and you know how they always look at, if you've had surgery, they look at your bracelet 500 times. And so she came in and she placed her hands on me. She didn't look at my bracelet, and she said, Patricia? And I said, yes. She goes, hello, my name is Faith.
And then the earth angel arrived.
She said, I will be taking care of you. And I like, yes. I went, okay. And I started crying. And then she turned over my bracelet and she said, Patricia Carr, oh, you're not my patient. And she whipped out of the room. And then she went right next door and she said, Patty? And she said, yeah. And she goes, Patty Morales? And she goes, okay, I'm going to be taking care of you today. Totally different tone.
Yes, because it was your God squad that put her in there to talk to you.
By mistake.
And to let you know that they got you covered.
And it was funny because she said Patty to the next one. I don't go by Patty. My name is Patricia Given.
Patricia.
I go by Trisha. But she called me Patricia, my birth name. She went in immediately and called this woman Patty, which is the nickname she goes by, without having looked at her bracelet yet. I don't know. It was crazy. And I just sat there.
She was completely channeling.
She was totally channeling. And I was like, okay, here we go then. We're fine. This is supposed to happen. Faith is taking care of me. Oh, it was amazing. So, but again, it's all name-centered, I'm realizing, that moment.
Yeah.
I've loved that moment for so long.
The vibration is what relates what's supposed to be going on.
Oh,
and
gosh.
She knew you were a Patricia, not a Patty.
Exactly. And she called me by that birth name. And my mother only called me Patricia when I was in trouble, but it was still, it was a benchmark, you know.
Got your attention.
Yes. Oh, and you know what? Talking about divine timing and always being in connection with your superconscious no matter what, just think about your parents or your parent naming you that name. They are in touch with you. They are superconscious. No matter what, I mean, how far off the path or whatever judgment, or if you think your parents are bad people,
well,
they channeled that for you.
Exactly. And if you've ever watched parents name a child, okay, I've been on the front row seat of this a few times. They get 100 million suggestions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you should name it after Aunt Myrtle or Uncle, you know, Frank or whatever it is, right? And the parents will only seriously consider a handful of those mountain of suggestions that they get.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason there's only a few that resonate with them is because their superconscious is comparing. Is this the one?
Yeah, there's a compare and contrast.
Yeah,
I have another interesting thing with my birth name. And, you know, I go by Trisha, and my mother wanted to name me Trisha after Trisha Nixon. Enough to realize. Yeah. Remember in the 60s and 70s?
I remember Trisha Nixon,
she was a little darling. You know, she was kind of like American royalty. And so my mother fell in love with Trisha. But, you know, her mother goes by Pat. And she didn't like Pat. And she didn't want me to be called Pat. And so she was going to just give the name Trisha. Well, wouldn't you know it, I was born on St. Patrick's Day. And my mother's best friend suggested, well, give her the name Patricia. And then you can call her Trisha. And you could just correct people if they call her Pat or Patty, but just always call her, but put down Patricia because she was born on St. Patrick's Day. Exactly. How crazy is that?
Exactly. Yeah. Because she needed that little nudge to get the right birth contract name on there.
And what do you think? Honestly, Trisha's the frosting. So my mother had an intuition about Trisha being the frosting that I would be using. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, and there's no accident to what goes on your birth name, right? Mm-hmm. Because there are some parents who just can't decide and the child comes and now you've got baby Morales in the nursery. Mm-hmm. That's your birth name.
Yeah.
You were supposed to be named Baby Girl Morales on your birth certificate. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, your frosting is going to be the name they actually eventually choose. Mm-hmm. But you needed baby whatever it was as your cake.
Okay. So tell us how this little bit more about, so you get the soul contract from the names. Everybody is now rushing to either make an appointment with you or to find this numerology of Moses. I'm going to be doing both. And so, because everybody wants to have that delicious piece there, which is your chocolate cake. Tell us about the soul contract and how it, what your sessions impart to people about it, how we work with it. I would love to hear all of that.
Okay.
If you're okay on time, we're going to have a long episode.
Yeah, I've got plenty of time and I'm happy to give you guys bonus material
good,
here.
Good.
I use the soul contract as the foundation of the healing work that I do. Mm-hmm. I do occasionally do like group soul contract readings. I have a little package that I put out that's like, I call it a two-pack because it's your like in-depth soul contract reading and a healing around whatever is going on for you.
Sure.
Kind of like a taster sort of thing. I don't tend to do one-off sessions because the work is so profound. And a lot of times you're left feeling like, okay, I invited in the construction crew. They did demo and then they left. Now, did it get you closer to your renovation that you wanted? Yeah, but it's not the renovation that you wanted, which is why I tend to work in sets of 4 or 7.
Yeah,
therapeutically. Exactly. I want you to get the best possible outcome for your money. And if we stop after one session or two sessions, you'll be closer to your goal, but you're probably not going to be as happy as you would be if we finished the work.
Right. Yes.
Yes, so that's typically why I work that way. But I do this Access Your Wisdom pack for people as well. And I will do an Access Your Wisdom pack for your people specifically.
Oh, yay, okay,
it's good. Not currently like posted on my website, but if you reach out to me through the contact form and say, I want the wisdom pack you were talking about on Trisha's show.
Good. Got it.
I will do one of those for you. The other thing that I put out into the world, which is quite lovely while we're talking about things that I put out into the world, a lot of us in our awakening journey have, what I want to say, it's almost like a social media disease. We look at everybody else and go, oh, if only I worked the way Trisha does. Mm-hmm. If only I had, you know, claircognizance like Sophia. And it's really easy to look at somebody else and go, oh, I want to be just exactly like them.
Yeah.
But you don't see how amazing and wonderful you are as you are right now. And there's a reason you are as you are right now, because we need you as you in the world, not as Trisha, not as Sophia. Mm-hmm. And so I created the What Is Your Number One Spiritual Superpower quiz.
Love it. So that
you can take a peek in the mirror and see, what is the gift set that you brought with you?
That's cool.
And I think that's an amazing place to start. And then if you follow that with the soul contract reading and you're doing your work, you're going to go a long ways.
Yeah. Wow. I love those. And I mean, everybody loves systems and your scientific background and your intellect. it grounds it. That's the thing, is it's grounding and it's practical and it's empowering, because we are human. We are a structure, you know, our bodies are structures of our soul. So thank you for those. Those are fantastic tools.
Exactly. So if you want to take the superpower quiz, you can go to superpowerquiz.us.
Okay. So we'll have this in the show notes, everyone.
Yes, that'd be fabulous. And if you're, I had somebody who gave me language around this the other day, because I've previously called myself like the healer of last resort, this sort of thing. And really what I run is kind of a soul ER.
That's
a soul hospital. If you're going through like a dark night of the soul, if your soul is setting you on the bench with an illness or or an accident or something like that, some people lose their career, some people end up in bankruptcy, some people like me end up all three. I do really well with people who are in those kind of spaces. And it's really kind of a soul emergency room.
I love it.
And so I have a 20-minute chat that people can book if they feel like they're in one of those circumstances, kind of what are my options. It's a no strings attached thing. This is not, what I want to say, a greased slide to working with Zofia.
Right.
Although you will receive those options at some point in the conversation, you will also receive insight to the pattern that's happening for you and the things that can be done to help you resolve them so you get back into a game that feels into the game in a way that feels better and more supportive than it did previously. So that's what those conversations are about.
That's amazing. And so you also have, you have a radio show. I would love to hear all about it. And it's a live radio show, right? Please tell us all about it.
Well, sometimes it's live, sometimes it's pre-recorded, depending on the scheduling of the guest, right? I love to do them live because then I can have callers.
I used to do this show exactly that same way. And I was thinking about doing at least some of it the same way. But, you know, I go live on, I multi-stream on social media platforms, but I don't do it regularly. Yeah. But yeah, and I took callers too. That was so fun. And I might get back to that. So thank you for the inspiration.
It's an absolute blast when I can take callers. So those happen Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific time. You can find that at sovereignself.live. And if it's not Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific time, you'll get access to the archives. Otherwise, you'll get the show.
Awesome.
And so that's where you find that. I don't know if I gave the URL for the coffee chat. That is Book Zofia Coffee Chat, BookZofia.
Coffeechat.com. I will put that in the show. That will be in the show notes as well.
I know. Marketing people out there are going, you just gave them like four calls to action. I'm like, well, no, I have four doors. You can come into my world through. Pick the one that resonates with you.
Yeah. I'm tired of that. Hey, you have to niche. And I'm like, I'm undefinable.
That's exactly right. Well, and sometimes it takes a while to find out what your niche is. Yeah. And it was a client that gave me this soul hospital, soul emergency room kind of concept. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly it. That's
right,
what I do.
You're doing all of the things in the emergency room. The emergency room doesn't. Okay, well, this is only for broken legs.
Yeah, exactly. No, we're not going to pay attention to your broken arm because it's not a leg, you know. So yeah, I'm glad that languaging showed up for me because the people who need it, they know they're in a place that it's like there's something more happening here than just the standard stuff, because the standard stuff isn't working to fix it.
It's an Einstein quote about you can't solve a problem at the same level of consciousness that it was created.
Exactly.
And that's what happened for you when you went all the way down and said, I will do anything for God. You got all the way to that different level of consciousness.
Exactly. And said, I'm open to all possibilities. And I find that curiosity helps me to stay open. Like the logical mind wants to go, here's the past and here's how it's going to happen. But if I notice that happening, what I do is I go, okay, that's nice. Let's get curious about the possibilities. Let's get curious about what the outcome is. Because one thing I've noticed on a soul-led path and living a soul-led life, the road is not straight. It's not wide, and frequently it's not even a road.
And it's not flat.
Get out your machete.
It's right? Also, it's not flat. You don't have shoes on. There's a lot.
No, there are no shoes. There's a lot of trust going on here. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And it's beautiful. And it's that way for everyone. That's the thing. However, I just feel like someone out there wants to say, well, Sophia is like so accomplished and, you know, intuitive and all these different things. You know, crisis is still a part of humanity, and it's
continues to be. I had another incredible crisis 2.5 years ago because I got the call that my father couldn't live on his own anymore.
Mm. Yeah, and his bank, dad bank was empty.
The dad bank was empty. Exactly. Yeah. He needed somebody who could care for him now. Yeah. This is, you know, 15 years after the dad bank was empty.
Yeah.
And I was told by his doctor I should prepare to bury him in a couple of months.
Oh my gosh.
And that did not resonate with me. I didn't think he was in that level of poor shape. Mm-hmm. And he's still with us.
Amen.
But I'm in this, what do I want to say? I don't know that it's quite crisis mode, but it's definitely coming face to face with matters of mortality.
Existential challenge.
Mm-hmm. A very existential challenge. Mm-hmm. And it's also pointing me to things from my childhood that I still need to heal up.
Yep.
Because since I took on responsibility for dad, the emotional eating has popped up. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, well, it's here for a reason. Let's find out what it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, such powerful stuff. I'm having the best time, and I could keep you all day long.
No, we could do like 6 episodes here.
We should and do. Let's get on some more episodes.
We can do some other ones. We can talk about like Between Lives and some of this other stuff too. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, is there anything if you could give a bit of a breadcrumb for people today in this moment, when they stop driving their car, because that's how people mostly listen to podcasts.
I know. When you're done jogging.
Doing the dishes. I don't want to say the word advice, but guidance, love, light to be able to help them to edge forward to that path of soul-led living.
Wisdom that I've gotten from this. Practical, tactical, in the trenches, okay? I know a lot of the, what I want to say, woo advertising out there is like, well, you know, you awaken and life is unicorns and fairy dust and rainbows.
And then you just manifest and if, you know.
And then, it's amazing.
Yeah.
The reality of it is sometimes it can be intensely difficult. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you feel like you're the only one in the world going through this and you feel like you're losing everyone in your world, in your sphere. And even sometimes after you've awakened, you're like, oh, wait, what's this cancer diagnosis coming around for? Mm-hmm. I thought I had all of my stuff in a row, right?
Sure.
Everything in this life happens for you.
Yes.
It sucks sideways in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to fully acknowledge that it sucks sideways in the moment. And sometimes it's hard to get to the more positive spins or to see where perhaps the gift might be. But in every shit sandwich that life gives you, there is an amazing gift.
Yes.
And you have a choice. You can hold your nose and set it aside, or you can hold your nose and take a big ass bite. I'm going to encourage you to lean in and take a big ass bite because you get through the shit sandwich faster and you get to the good stuff quicker.
Yes. And you are that powerful and you are that strong and you are not alone.
You've got this. You are not alone. And if you are in this space where it's like, I'm the only one going through this, tune into Sovereign Self.
Yeah.
We talk about the journey and other people's journeys because it's all different. Some of us fall deeply asleep and have to be awoken with a 2x4 like me. Others of us stay more dialed in and more focused with our higher self, with the divine, with our God squad, however you want to describe them. And the journey is a little different depending on where in that spectrum you're falling. And I have people on who've had all kinds of different journeys, and that was what we talk about. And I feel Like, I know for myself, when I was going through it, I read books. I didn't have a show or a podcast. But it helped to read the books and go, okay, they survived it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I can do it too. They didn't just survive it. They thrived it.
Mm-hmm. They thrived through it. Yeah. Let's to boil it down to a tidbit, listen to Sovereign Self. I'm sorry.
Sovereign Self.
Read the books. Listen to this podcast. Do you take, you know what I mean? Like, do it. Keep immersing yourself with the people who are doing it, not just have done the hero's journey, are doing it still, and keep giving that to yourself, because there's enough of the, you know, comparisitis on Instagram, or there's enough of, you know, abuse or negativity with your boss or your colleagues, or perhaps your family and friends, who knows? That's there. Keep feeding your soul this kind of stuff, or the books or anything else, because it does come that way. If you had had, and you had some of that because you had EFT showing up in the different things and everything. So I think those were little beacons, and those were little breadcrumbs that were feeding you.
It was like the little hints, right? Yeah. Ran into the work of Candace Pert, which I don't know that she's terrifically famous in the world at large, but she's a very well-known researcher, specifically in brain chemistry areas. And she was one of the earliest easy introductions I had into this world, because she was a scientist who, like I do now, walks with a foot in both worlds.
Yeah.
She never left her, what I want to say, highly scientific career. I left my highly scientific career and my corporate stuff behind, but she stayed with a foot in both worlds and made some really good discoveries and interesting headway. And I think that's one of the things that I enjoy showing on Sovereign Self, is you don't have to throw it all overboard and go up to the mountain. A lot of times, the change in your level of satisfaction with what you're doing is taking a larger perspective on it and knowing you're not just here getting 1598 laying bricks to build a wall. You're creating a cathedral where people will come and have these amazing experiences. And sometimes it's just that shift that makes the difference.
Yeah. Well, Sophia, this has been just, wonderful.
I know. Me too. I'm like, I could just keep on going.
I could too. Well, we will.
You can make it a two-part podcast.
Oh, that's okay.
You can break it apart.
I just leave it to people to hit pause, and you know what I mean? Like,
there you go. Hit pause and come back later.
You know, some
you're
podcasters,
big people.
Yeah, some podcasters, I think like Joe Rogan, sometimes he has an hour and sometimes they're 4 hours. So I'm like, it must be fine. You can hit pause. So.
If Joe Rogan does it this way. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I mean, he's pretty much my, no, I'm kidding. He's not at all. Just kidding. But he's a good podcast model. Anyway.
There are lessons to be taken from everyone.
Everyone, absolutely.
Everyone.
Well, we do have all of your invitations in the show notes. And I just, all of my gratitude for coming on, of course, but for doing this work that you are doing on our beautiful world. Thank you so very much.
Oh, likewise. Thank you.
So much to dig into. Ooh, I am a 5-1 reflector, my human design. That one is the investigator. And so you better believe I'm going to be investigating many of the things that Sophia brought up, including that numerology of Moses. I want it. And I also want to have that session work with Sophia. And also the emotion code, which I have heard about, but I have never dug into. So if you are out there thinking, how could you not have gotten into the emotion code? And because you've been into it, well, thank you for holding that space. And I got to tell you, the path is endless. There are so many different ways that humans are connecting with spirit and sharing it out into the world. And I just love doing this so much, because I get to bring that in from my guests. And
So once again, as I said in our conversation, please keep feeding yourself this soul food. And I don't mean just mine, but I would love to have you continue and to even go back into my archives, because I've had so many guests and also the solos that I've done. So I would love to welcome you into my archives and to move forward with me in this journey. But of course, in all of the other ways, read books. Listen to books if you're auditory, other podcasts, YouTube videos. Please make that space in your life and even widen it. Allow yourself to widen it. Give yourself that permission and to connect on it too. Speak about it with your friends. If it is your life's work as a profession, I encourage you to continue to bring it forward. And yes, the crises, those are natural. They are a part of the human journey. I asked Sophia offline about her human design and if she uses it, and she says she does use it a bit. But the reason I felt, because I'm very much into, you know, my experiment with human design and encouraging others to, because I've found human design to truly be a user manual for life. But, you know, she's talking about the soul contract. And I see a lot of alignment there with, in human design, the incarnation cross, which is like the theme of your life. And this can also be, tapped into by looking at on your human design chart, you know, the two rows that go vertically down of numbers, and those are gates. And so at the very top, and on the right side where the numbers are black, that is called your conscious sun gate. It really taps into that life theme. And what's so fascinating is that my life theme has to do with crisis, going through crisis, overcoming it, mastering it, and then being able to help others with crisis. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm stuck in crisis. Who knows? It could keep coming to me. I think that's just a part of life, though. But as I master crisis, I am able to help others to do it as well. And it sounds like Sophia has such a similar theme. So we're going to keep talking. She'll probably come on again. We want to talk about other things like being an empath and talk about vows and contracts from a past life. By the way, I teased that a little bit. We didn't really get into it because we had so much other stuff to get into. But I want to go ahead and maybe satisfy some of that for you. So I have a YouTube, I think it's a three-part, as I recall, episode or three videos on past life vows, covenants, and oaths. So I'm going to link those in the show notes in case you want to get into that a little bit. And then, you know, perhaps in the future, Sophia and I will share on that and we can talk about her perspective and experience in those areas. So anyway, that's what I have for you in this episode. And you guys, I would love for you to also join the newsletter. That's also linked in the show notes, because I am gestating and about to really release some new work. And I'm just feeling the urge to share with you, I think I already mentioned it once, that an animal communication training is coming forth pretty soon, as well as other spiritual skill development and coaching programs. So that's what I have for you. Ooh, also, they're nudging me to talk about my therapeutic offerings as well with my hypnotherapy. It's spiritual hypnotherapy. It's a hypno-healing process. So those are just some nudges, some bugs to put in the ear of those who are on my fractal line, that we will work together. And I can't wait to meet you when that timing is divinely accurate for us both, correct for us both. But I thank you so much for being here, listening to this podcast. I hope you feel that spark and that blazing holy fire of your soul today, and that you are able to feel the blessing of it and be the blessing that you are, because you are, and only you can be the blessing that you are. That's what I have for you in this episode. Thanks for tuning in. I love you, whoever you are.